Hello and welcome to Soul Sisters with me, Claire Solon.
And me, Georgie Crawford.
This is the podcast that guarantees plenty of aha moments and lovely white smiles with thanks to our favourite toothpaste, Colgate Max White Ultra. We love partnering with Colgate Max White Ultra because we've seen the results for ourselves and it really does deeply whiten your teeth in just 3 days. Just ask the Soul Sisters.
Yeah, so all of this season we have been sending out packages of Colgate Max White Ultra to the Soul Sisters who haven't tried Colgate Max White Ultra yet. And so up this week, we have Julie and her feedback is actually brilliant. Hi, Soul Sisters. Just wanted to give you my feedback on Colgate Max White Ultra. I've noticed such a difference in my teeth already. They are brighter. My mouth feels fresh, so clean. Like I've been to a professional to have them cleaned. I'm so happy to recommend it and can see why you guys are so happy to work with Colgate. It's definitely a product that I will be using forevermore. So thank you so much for sending it.
Oh, thank you, Julie. Colgate Max White Ultra is available in Dunnes, Tesco, Super Value and pharmacies nationwide.
Thank you so much, Julie. And it's so true, isn't it? Because myself and Jamie went away and we forgot the Colgate Max White Ultra when we went to Killarney during the summer. And Jamie was like, oh God, it's so weird brushing your teeth with other toothpaste now. Because when you do brush with Colgate Max White Ultra, it does feel like a professional clean, doesn't it?
It's really good stuff. And when I was in India, I was using a Colgate, but it wasn't Max White Ultra. So I'm delighted to be home for that reason, among other things.
Thank you so much, Julie. And we're loving these reviews. So big thanks to the Soul Sisters. So, Claire, I honestly thought that I was going to be talking to you in India today, but you're home.
I wish that was the case. But sadly, all good things have to come to an end. And I landed back in Heathrow last night at about 7:30 at night. And my London da, Neil, was there to pick me up from Heathrow, thank God. And he had gotten a little container of pumpkin soup that he'd made.
Ah, stop.
Are you joking? Like, he was like in the back. He was like, see your soup there. I made you some soup. Like, talk about, I honestly feel like I've been spat out of the womb. So talk about being received with love. Namaste.
And I was thinking of you too, because I was worried for you that you were coming home after so long away and the clocks had changed and it's so wintry now. I mean, look at my nails. They're burgundy. Would you move to India?
I absolutely would. So when I was there, I would say 2017 was the first trip I did. And I've been going to India every single October/November since then. So 8 years now. I would say, first of all, this was my best trip yet. And I think in previous years, I've probably been on pilgrimage, on retreat, and then been kind of dying to get back to Western food and the comforts of home. This time round, which I think is a really good sign for where I'm at in terms of myself spiritually and in life, I thought I could do 6 months here. I could run retreats here for 6 months and then return home and live in Europe for 6 months. That was what my mindset was like when I was over there.
Wow, isn't it incredible how year to year we change? And so much happens. And actually, that brings me in so nicely. I was thinking of you so much yesterday because I went to Cashel Palace to interview Clodagh McKenna, who we all know, right? Love. Icon, Irish chef, has moved to the UK, is the resident chef on This Morning. She lives in Downton Abbey. So she married somebody very connected to royalty. Harry is his name. He was there. And they met when she was in her 40s. And he owns 100 acres of this part of Downton Abbey. So it's not the actual Abbey itself. And they took over the land. She has created a farm there. They've animals. She built a pub called the Cork Arms where she has Laura Whitmore over, Imelda May. They sing. anyway, her life is fabulous. And I've never met Clodagh before, and I was dying to interview her. So we went down to Cashel Palace. It was for her book launch. Her book is incredible, by the way. And I was interviewing her, and you were coming through her to me.
What? That's just giving me, whoa, major shivers.
So Clodagh, right, when she was in her early 40s, moved to the UK, and she literally had nothing. You know, she was so successful in so many parts of her life, but she said that this was a real kind of rock bottom for her. And she went and she rented this little coach house cottage, and she lived there, and she was really trying to find herself. And she came across this sign that was an advertisement for meditation. And so she went down to the centre and she said, oh, could I join this meditation class? And they said, it's €5 for an hour, or £5 for an hour. And she thought, perfect. So she joined the meditation class, and so much changed for her then during that time. She went on, she met Harry in her 40s. Happy ever after is a freaking understatement, okay? She now has like a working farm, like chickens, dogs, cows, pigs. Her and Harry are so obsessed with each other, totally in love. She's told this really funny story that on Saturday afternoons, they say, darling, will we have afternoon wine or evening wine? And they decide whether they're going to drink their wine in the afternoon and fall asleep early, or they save themselves for the nighttime. I just loved their dynamic. And he's sitting in the front row like some sort of king, like prince. And he's 6'6" and he's endorsing everything she says. And she said something in the interview, and I just thought of you, right? She said when she lived alone for those 2 years, she would wake up every single Saturday morning, every Saturday, and she would bake bread. And the reason she would do that, she said, was because it made her house a home. And the smell of bread and the ritual, and even though she lived alone and she had no one to give the bread to in her house, she still did it. And she still makes bread every Saturday morning now when she's met this incredible man and they have their dream life. She still wakes up every Saturday morning and bakes the bread. And I thought to myself, wow, there's so many times that we almost wait to be invited somewhere to feel homely, like so up to your mum's house, to your granny's, maybe you to India a little bit. You go to India because you feel taken care of and nurtured and cared for. But actually, for anyone listening to this podcast today, we all have the ability to make our house a home ourselves. And so I'm definitely going to start baking bread on a Saturday morning. And I just wanted to pass it on to you, Claire, because I think I just saw Clodagh and I just saw you at the same time. And I thought Claire has so much ahead of her and so much excitement and so much to come. And yeah, it just made me smile.
Oh, I love that. I'm so pleased to hear that. And I have seen Clodagh on socials, actually, and Harry, and she has this beautiful little room where she does her food content and stuff. And I also saw around Paddy's Day, I think she had all the Irish into the pub on their land. And it's totally spoke to me. I was enchanted by, you know, the way that she's living and her happiness. So that's lovely to hear that it's true of her existence now.
And I was telling my mum in the car on the way home, I rang my mum and she was saying, like, she's like a fairy.
Yeah.
Clodagh McKenna. Isn't she?
Yes.
And I said to Harry, I went up to him at the end and I said, Jesus, isn't it just incredible your life that you have together now? I said, is everyone just so happy for you? And, you know, he's looking down at this like 5'5" little Irish person. Is everyone just so happy for you, Harry? But yeah, he's a lovely man. They're gorgeous people. And her book is actually brilliant.
That's a really good reminder also, the baking the bread, because I think that when I, like, as a single person and speaking to those of us who are single, you know, my one bed flat is my palace, but some days it's my prison. And
yes,
Terry, who washes my windows, was here today and he was looking through the window. And, you know, I've been slowly putting more and more into the flat, depending on finances and stuff, and working away on it since Julie and I, your sister-in-law, worked together. And it's got a lick of paint in the lounge. It's got, I've got new blinds. I've got done a bookcase, and it's become, you know, the room is taking shape. And he said to me today, he was like, "Oh, have you done something with the place?" And I said, "Oh, God, yeah, I have done a few bits and pieces." He was like, "Yeah, lovely. It really looks, it looks good." And it was good to get that mirror, because I came back in from India and it, my place was so familiar to me, and I was a bit like, you know, my old, and honestly, these India trips really punctuate my year for me. So I see a before and I see an after. And so an after new, you know, next level me comes back into my home, sometimes it's hard to find that adjustment and say, don't let any of the sadness which may exist in pockets in your, in the energy in your home, bring you down. And say, yeah, look, nothing's actually changed. Did India even exist?
Yeah.
So Terry was my, that reminder for me this morning when I was a little,
wow,
just a little bit glum. He was like, "Place looks great." And I just gave him a little tip and I was like, "Thanks." He's like, and he's a real South London guy. "All right, Claire. All right, darling. See you next time." And off he goes. I'm like, nice.
Wow. Thank, that was a good time for Terry to peer in your windows.
It was. And I just thought to myself again, I've put in these blinds. I've been here, you know, over 5 years. And so I would often have to do a naked dash in situations like that.
And yeah.
So thankfully I was able to spare my blushes and also spare Terry.
Do you ever notice when someone's cleaning the windows from the outside, you're trying to like be normal?
Really, like, really normal. I was kicking, I had like, my, I unpacked my bag, and usually I'm quite good at doing, putting everything into like bundles and washing piles and stuff. I literally decanted the bag last night onto the floor. So it had spilled out into my hallway. So I was, before I could hear him, I could hear his ladder outside my window, and I was kicking socks, kicking underwear back into my bedroom to hide them from. And I was just thinking to myself, imagine what window cleaners witness.
Yes. Season 9, and we're only hearing about Terry now.
No, it's true.
I also, something that you've just brought it up for me there. So I said to Clodagh, like, when was your last 5-star moment or God wink? And she said, oh, when my friend was doing my makeup this morning, because I've, you know, been on this really busy book tour. I'm like giving a lot of my energy. What, Piper's been really weird. What's wrong with you? Sit down. Sit down. She said, I've been giving lots of my energy, you know, to other people and having conversations. And she said, it was so nice to sit down and just feel cared for in a moment. And I thought, yeah, God, it's so weird when I sit on my own couch compared to when I sit on my mum's couch. So when I call up to my mum and I sit on my mum's couch, I go, oh, God, thank God I could stay here all day. Thank God I'm here. And we don't have that in our own homes sometimes. Clodagh said that every single evening at 6 o'clock, she lights all the candles in her house. She sets the table. They have dinner together. She romanticizes her life. Like, she puts on her music. She has, you know, juices in the morning. Like, she just, everything in her life is like from a fairy tale. But she creates that energy for herself. And I actually think that she probably is able to live like that because she spent so many years on her own. And she knows herself inside out, but also appreciates the love that's come along later in her life.
It's true, I think, of all people who successfully manifest the life they want, they begin in the lack. I would love, I wish, I want. And we talked about this in India, actually. And if you say to the universe, I want, I want, I want, that's what the universe hears. And what is wanting? It's not having, it's wanting, it's lack. And so in order for you to attract the things that you want to complete your life, you have to be in the feeling of it. And so back to Claude and baking the bread, that smell gives her the opportunity to imagine love, family, companionship, sharing food, breaking bread, you know, and ritualistically lighting the candles, setting the table. Like, that's so important for a person and a family and humans to feel that every day is worth savoring. You know, I often will have my dinner on my lap on the couch, or, you know, if I'm hungry, eat while standing up in the kitchen. And I know that that is not good for me physiologically, for my digestion, but also it just reinforces that I am happy to sit on my own, you know, in a kind of a solo space. I keep hearing about people in their 40s who are coming to their purpose, their the essence of them. You know, because we think, oh, it's our 20s, our 30s. We have to be young, and the culture tells us we have to achieve in those early years. But now at 44, I know that I've never felt so ready to succeed or to hold, you know, a job or a relationship or my soul's purpose. So like, if you're telling me, Claude, as you say that I appear to you in that moment when you're listening to Claude talk about her life, that for me is like nearly a premonition, like a synchronicity to say that it's on the way.
I wanted to show you this. This is my instant vegetable broth. Now, I haven't been feeling too well over the last couple of days, and to say the least. And I was driving home yesterday and I said, you know what I need? I need to go into the health shop. I just need to just be there for a few minutes. So I went in, and anyway, I was looking for a broth because I was thinking to myself, I need to stop waiting for the perfect time to really focus on my health again. Mm. So I haven't had broth in ages because I just don't have my shit together to make it myself. You know, I talk about broth all the time. I have the recipe on the website, but I was like, I need to just be handed broth today. And so I went into the vegetable shop, and it's this little kind of, it's like a little stock pot, but it's, how would you pronounce this?
Bouillon?
This is French.
Yeah.
Bouillon. And what you do is you put half a teaspoon into some hot water, and it's dried organic vegetables, carrot, onion, parsnip, chive, kale, parsley, garlic, coriander, turmeric, fennel, ginger, paprika, cinnamon, chili, nutmeg. And I've just been sipping on this for 2 days. And I thought to myself, I need to stop waiting for the perfect bloody time. It doesn't come around. You know, one of the ladies in Cashel Palace yesterday had a question for Claude. Like, I'm really busy, I'm finding it really hard to focus on my health, like, what's the one thing I should do? And Claude's answer was like, just make the decision, you're going to do it. I'm not going to give you a recipe for a juice or a healthy dinner. You have to make the decision. And so I stopped in on the way home and I got this broth. And yeah, it's not homemade, it's not perfect, but at least I'm on a better path than I was 2 days ago.
Exactly. So, and first of all, you're drinking all that. Like, if you think of the ingredients that are in there, when I was in India, I was reminded again of the healing properties of turmeric and how good for inflammation it is. And when you're drinking that now because you're not feeling great, but when you're feeling good again and your appetite is back, you can put vegetables into that, you can put noodles into that, you can make a ramen. Like, wow. That's what you're saying now is, I'm 100% with you. I have Neil's pumpkin soup for my lunch here today, and I'm going to do that, really nourish myself, nourish my body, and see it as a gift, not as a punishment. So let me, I've had a few DMs from some soul sisters who are really interested in hearing about India. And I just want to give you an overview of this trip and why traveling to somewhere like India for Westerners like us is so important. Like energetically, if you look at India, you will say, you know, billions of people, poverty, 8,000 miles away.
Yeah. Can I say what word comes up for me? Yeah. And I feel so bad to think it.
Yeah.
Like a bit scary.
Yes. And so every so often you will hear, you know, stories, really bad stories of crimes that are committed in India, you know, by one person. And they make it all the way back over here. And you say, well, I can't possibly ever travel on a bus. I wouldn't feel safe as a woman. But again, what I am at pains to say about India and really about anything in life, if we focus on one single bad moment, one terrible occurrence, and then we paint the whole population with that paintbrush, we wouldn't leave our homes. We won't. It scares us to the point where we stay where we are, small, without expansion.
Yeah.
So when you get to India, no doubt, you know, I've said this before plenty of times on Soul Sisters, it is a very confronting place to be, because there are so many people that are so busy. Airport is busy. And the way that they interact in India is they go, 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 because they have to. There's so many of them. They have to fight for the business. They have to fight for everything that they get. You might get pushed around and you're like, oh my God. You know, we are so courteous because we can
and
be.
Privileged.
Yeah, because we're so privileged. We can go to the shop and go in and queue behind one person and get what we want. In India, you may be waiting hours to get what you need. So for the first few years that I went, I felt very put upon by the whole thing. But now that I've been going so long enough, I realize I can either get agitated or I can step back and observe it. What India gives you in exchange for that is a much higher vibration, right? An energy. In the Western world, because we are stressed, we are... You know, we're competing with each other. We focus on the doing and the action and the go, go. That is in the air. That's in our energy. Whereas over in India, they are constantly praying to deities and gods. They go to the temple every, back to the rituals. They go to the temple every morning. They pray. They make an offering. They take blessings away. It's all part of their daily ritual. And because of that, when you go to those temples, you'll feel like you walk into some of these temples, even in the middle of Delhi, and there's not silence, but there's a stillness. When you walk into a place that's still, like a church, and you really tune in, you think, whoa. And you instantly feel like it's a warm hug or warm air on your body. And you think, your mind clears. And then we chant some mantras, we make an offering, we take our blessing and we leave. And so I had three soul sisters with me on this trip, and there was about 30 of us in total. And I think for the soul sisters who came with me, and also for me, it was a predominantly female group, and there was women from as old as 85 and right down to a little girl who was 4 years old. So there was you were captured in an energy of divine femininity.
Wow.
Anything you needed, there was women there to catch you. If you needed a hug, if you needed travel sickness tablets, if you needed a chat, it was.
And it's so interesting because you spoke about how Italy was, or Rome was, so Roman and masculine. And then you went to the feminine.
Exactly. So I went east and I got into the feminine mindset and the energy. We traveled up into the Himalayas. We went, you know, blue skies, bus journeys. And like, you know, what may be a lot for people is to imagine sitting in a bus for 12 hours, but you're sitting in, it's like a school tour. You're sitting in a seat, generally you're rotating seats or you're sitting beside someone that you maybe don't know. You'll have a conversation with them. You'll talk about where you're at or what you're working through, and they will be able to meet you where you're at. The magic is that you're healing yourself, but through the prism of other people's experience.
Yes, I love that.
You know? And then you can see.
That's my favorite, because I feel like it brings up stuff that is not even in your consciousness. Like someone will say something and then you'll be like, yes, yes, I get that. And then it helps you and you didn't even realize that you needed that help.
And that's what happens every time we get off the bus after a journey. We're either going to have a meal or even a toilet stop or at a temple. The Soul Sisters in particular would come up to me and go, oh my goodness, I just had a conversation with Denise Harford. And Denise Harford was our matriarch. She was our 80 plus year old lady who, you know, has a few issues walking, but she was determined to be there. So she was our queen and we took care of her, you know, getting on and off of buses, bringing her in and out of temples. And one of our soul sisters, Sarah, had a conversation with her and she came up to me after and she was like, I've just sat with Denise for the last couple of hours and she's been able to point out a pattern in my life that I never saw before.
Whoa.
The overwhelming message from a trip to India and from these pilgrimages is love. Love, love in all of its forms is the antidote to everything. You have an enemy. Love him. He wrongs you. He is disparaging to you. She rejects you. Send love. It's hard. And this is why it's important to do the work, because otherwise, we hold on to resentment. We get drawn into gossip. But as you start to peel the layers off yourself like an onion, it starts to become clear that if you can recycle those feelings, those angry, those stressed, anxious, agitated, fearful feelings and bring back love, then the world around you changes. I'll give you one story and then I want to just read Denise Harford's poem. We came across in the bus on the way back down from the Himalayas, we came across a strike. There was loads of kind of an angry mob outside of the bus and they stopped us and they were bus drivers and they were having a strike and they were blocking the roads. So our bus drivers got out. There was two buses and they were having a conversation with them. And you could see out the window that it was quite serious. So the guy who was facilitating our trip, Anurag, got out and he was trying to negotiate with them. There was no negotiating. We were stuck. So we were there for about half an hour. And mantra meditation is what I teach. Mantra meditation is what I practice. And mantra meditation is the basis of this trip that I go on. So one of the women in the bus said, let's mantra. And so what that means is we will recite mantras, but in the process of doing that, what we're collectively doing is we are channeling all of our positivity into what we want to happen next, which is we want to be released down the mountain. So we begin to chant as a group, 20 people on this bus, and then the other bus, 10 people on the other bus, chanting, chanting. So the chant we use is Om Ganganapate Namaha, and that's to Lord Ganesh, who is the elephant god, if you've ever seen him in pictures. Yeah. He is the remover of obstacles. He will clear your path. Om Ganganapate Namaha, Om Ganganapate Namaha, Om Ganganapate Namaha. Imagine like 20 people saying this, bum, bum, bum. After 20 minutes, Anurag gets back on the bus and he's like, we have no idea how this has happened, but they have given us permission to go down the mountain. And he said, and he's an Indian guy. He's like, I really never gave mantra the credit it deserves, but I truly believe that you changed the energy of this situation and they've let us go.
Wow, that's so powerful. And it's the collective, isn't it? The collective energy of everyone doing it together at the same time, which is so powerful.
That's it. And I want to read you this poem that Denise wrote. This is a poem about love. Hearing her say it and watching her say it on the bus brought tears to my eyes, like it spoke to my soul. And just what you said there about the collective, if you imagine if we could collectively send love out from our hearts to all of the places and spaces in the world that need it most, you know, whether it's Gaza, whether it's Ukraine, could we make more of an impact than we do now by being scared and fearful and angry about what's going on. I believe so. Okay, here we go. Love, O love of mine, I know you and I know you not. Or is it that I just forgot? Ultimate essence, invisible presence, like a circle, your history remains a mystery. Known only from afar, may I ask just who you are? From whence you came, I know not where, and were you waiting and waiting for me somewhere? Have you been since time began, and are you the time that measures man? Are you the heart that beats in wind, rain, sea, and river, while letting my soul, my treasure, live forever? Are you the love breathing life in all, with a magnitude without measure? Now, as you whisper who you are, I'm beginning to know just what you are. As your visions are released, so my prisons become deceased. In the space I know I am, in the boundless view presented by you. O love, my love, O love divine, as I see now, you are forever and ever mine.
Huge thank you to Colgate for supporting Soul Sisters this season. Did you know, unlike regular whitening toothpaste that only removes surface stains, Colgate Max White Ultra also removes deep set stains embedded in your enamel over time to deeply whiten your teeth in just 3 days. Most importantly, it's the number one brand recommended and trusted by dentists. It's backed by science and dental professionals. And for us, we love it because it actually works. It's clinically proven and enamel safe, so you can use it daily without worry. You know, I constantly go through my week and I'm like, that's a reason to smile. That's a reason to smile. That's a reason to smile. And I've been keeping this one for you because I knew that you'd love this one, Claire. So the other day, Pia just randomly started talking about school and she was talking about her principal and the things that her principal says in assembly. And she said her principal stood up one day and said to all the children, we are all like Smarties. Do you know why? And Pia said they were thinking and thinking. And then her principal said, we all look different on the outside, but we're all the same on the inside. We all want love, kindness and joy. My little guru, like,
that's,
have you been in India with Claire? I couldn't believe it came out of her mouth. And I just thought, wow, what a reason to smile. And also hope for the future, because I think our kids are just so lucky. The little ones now, that they are being raised to understand that, yes, we all look different, but actually what it's what's inside that counts.
That is such a beautiful little story and amazing, like, props to that principal for just distilling it down, because not only was Pia able to understand it at the time, but she was able to bring it back and recount it to you.
Okay, so into recommends. I mean, I feel like I have a lot of things to recommend.
Oh, good, me too. Tell me.
Okay, you go first.
No, you please.
Oh, okay. Okay, wait, what will I pick? Okay, I'm going to pick this. Did you listen to the Spencer and Jamie Lang podcast?
I have it downloaded in my Apple podcast app and I didn't have enough battery on my phone to listen to it, but it's there. Tell me.
It's just, I love Jamie Lang, but I really love Spencer. And so they sat down, they basically fell out because a lot of things happened. Jamie didn't invite Spencer to his UK wedding. Spencer didn't go on Jamie's stag. It's just a lot of stuff there, unspoken. So they decided to sit down. But actually what my recommendation is to watch it on YouTube because you actually see their faces. So I listened to it and then went and found the YouTube. And it's such a different experience actually seeing the emotion. You can see Jamie's like this hurt puppy dog who's begging Spencer to be you know, to fix everything. Whereas Spencer is more like, dude, like I barely noticed, you know, and not in a bad way. He's just a busy guy. And it just shows, I suppose, the difference in how we all are as human beings, you know. And sometimes with Audrey, like Audrey's much more sensitive than I would be. And sometimes I'd kind of just not think the same way she would think. And it's just such a study of human behavior and just an absolutely fascinating watch.
I feel like you do. I love Jamie Lang, and I think he gets, I get it over here quite a lot. I will just scream it from the rooftops how good I think he is. And I think that was mirrored back to me on Dish when he came on early on in Dish's history, actually. And we published a video, a social video of him about the James Bond. It was James Bond themed and Shaken Not Stirred. And that clip went pew, right around the world, went viral twice with 6 months gap between each. He's got magic. And why I think Spencer and him are so good together is exactly what you said. He's got heart and Spencer is all in his mind. They're a great combination. Yeah. And I often wondered why, what had happened between them. So fair play to them for doing that.
Yeah, it's really good. Totally recommend watching it on YouTube, on your TV.
So, okay, I also have a couple of recommends and I'll get through them quickly. But the first thing I want to mention is Ocean, O-S-H-U-N, Electrolyte Concentrate. And me and Gluten Free Hobnobber are on this gear. It's from the Great Salt Lake of Utah. And in it is magnesium chloride, potassium and sodium. And it is a great electrolyte because it's not flavored. You know, they can be sort of sugary, but it's actually just really, really, really salty, a salty solution. One pump into your glass of water gets you right back to hydration, but it also really softens the water.
Oh, nice.
I was targeted on Instagram, and I would say on this occasion, I made a good investment.
It worked out.
The other thing I wanted to mention was when I land in India, I have all the mosquito paraphernalia with me because sadly, they love me. And I will often, if I'm not careful, be bitten to death by them. And so I will have spray, I will have, you know, citronella, I will have all of the gear. And I got to...
Have you looked up the spiritual meaning of getting bitten by mosquitoes?
Well, there you go. There you go. So on the trip, there was a brother and sister combo, Kayleen and Joseph, who are from Lebanon. And Kayleen lives in Dublin, actually, and works for LinkedIn. And Joseph is an app developer and he lives in Japan. They were a super addition to the trip. Like they've been on trips before, but we had such a lovely time with them. And what they gave me early doors was, so Joseph saw me in reception, killing the mosquitoes, like just like, don't come near me, bringing all of the aggression to them. And he was like, hey, can I just say to you?
I can't wait for this.
Can I just say to you what Kayleen, my sister, what reframe she gave me on mosquitoes? And I was like, yeah, sure. Got him. Like squashed on my hand. He was like, have you ever considered like saying to mosquitoes, I send you love. I respect you for what you have to do and your place in the world, but please don't bite me. Don't bite me. Like, please, I ask you. I knew you'd laugh at me. I knew you would. Guess what? I did it every day. I said.
To each individual mosquito or just once a day.
Once a day to the collective, I said, whenever I saw them flying around me, mosquitoes, please,
yeah.
I respect you and I respect your place in the world. I'm not here to bring aggression or fear or anger to your door, but please just don't bite me. I'm telling you, I didn't get one bite.
Oh, Oh my God. There'd be people like, do you know, I loved that Soul Sisters podcast, but there was this one episode where they just went too far. And that was the moment.
And that was the moment I stopped listening and unfollowed.
No, I absolutely love that because I used to do that with my hay fever.
Yes.
I used to say, please, not today. Just please, I need a break. I can't take this on right now. It's too much. And it worked. It works.
So, Soul Sisters, before you unfollow and leave us forever, if you are away in a mosquito country, just give it a go and just give us some feedback. Send us a little DM and let us know if that works for you.
And let us know if it works for your husbands. Good morning. It's just not today. I can't take this on. It's too much.
For a second, I was like, yeah, of course. And if it works for your husbands. Oh, I see. I see.
Oh, Claire, it's so good. You know, our podcast platform takes a little photo when you first log on. And if you can you see your photo there? You're beaming. Yeah. You're so happy in it. And I was so dying to chat to you and see how you got on. And we're so happy you're back. And thank you for the wisdom that you bring to this podcast through doing the work in such depth. And we appreciate you and love you so much.
Oh, I love you right back. And I was dying to come back and share everything that's gone on for me. But again, honestly, it's such a joy to get little messages every single week for people to say, oh, this little thing you said about mosquitoes really helped. So that's why we do it, you know, and love being the reason that we're here. Sometimes it's hard to receive it. Sometimes it's hard to give it. But when you do, you transform your experience of life.
I will say we are getting such lovely comments on Spotify. So if you are listening to this and you feel like leaving us a review, please do so on Apple or Spotify. And a huge thank you to Colgate for supporting us this season. Colgate Max White Ultra is now half price from €12 down to €6. So I'd advise stocking up in Tesco Ireland until the 17th of November.